Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Esther, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing really well. I'm so happy we have Marcia back to talk to us again today on the topic of Medicare.
Today is Medicare. What was the last podcast on?
Last one she spoke with us about was a lot about Social Security planning and all kind of some of the pitfalls and how to avoid them. It was a really engaging discussion, if I say so myself. So if you haven't heard that one, I recommend you go back and listen to that one as well.
Yeah, it really, really was. And I asked that question even though I was here and I got to be a part of it. It was great to hear you guys talking back and forth. And Marcia wrote a book, What's the Deal with Social Security for Women? It's a fantastic book. I have a copy of it. And the reason she wrote this is because for over 30 years, Marcia Mantel has helped the country's foremost financial services firms and advisors increase their knowledge of complex retirement concepts and regulations. And then she turns it, the technical, into tangible, which is fantastic. And like Esther said, if you haven't heard the first podcast, please go back and listen to it. You'll see exactly what we mean. Marcia brings it down to my level even. And so I could understand it. And so she has a wonderful way of speaking. Marcia, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Eric and Esther, for inviting me back. I am thrilled to be here.
Well, it's all Esther. And speaking of Esther, I'm going to let you go with this because you guys have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about and go on for a long time, but I'll just kick it right off here with Marcia. How you're a retirement industry go-to person for not only Social Security, but Medicare also. You've spent many years, I think over 20 years, right, researching and providing answers to people on this. So what got you interested in the Medicare portion?
It was really questions coming at me fast and furious by boomers, baby boomers, who were reaching 65 and absolutely shocked to find out that Medicare wasn't free and that they have to sign up and that there are multiple parts. And oh my gosh, this is so hard. How do I know I'm not making a mistake? So at that point, I kind of dove in feet first going, oh my gosh, what is this Medicare conundrum? And wow, was I shocked, same as they were. And also really fortunate that I got to learn this stuff way before I'm going to need it. But I'm there to help those who are getting closer to 65 all the time.
I know it is quite, I call it kind of the pig in the python, right? You come, you know, you're moving along and you know Medicare's coming, you know, 65, I'm going to have Medicare. And you think it's just flipping a switch. And it is a lot more than that, isn't it?
It really is. And there's just so many ways to describe it. But one of the things that most people get so caught up in and so taken aback by, you know, they've been working for 40 years, right? By the time you get close to 65, you've had a career. And throughout, for all of us, we've always had health insurance through our employers. So every year, you know, at the fourth quarter, usually, you know, around Thanksgiving, you're signing up for next year's benefits. And you have a choice of, you know, plan number one and plan number two. Bam, you're done. You cover yourself, you cover your spouse, you cover your dependent children. And that's kind of the sum total of it. Then the money comes out of your paycheck, you don't really notice it, and you go to the doctor when you need to. Super. All of a sudden, you're almost 65, and you start doing just a little, getting some mail. Let's say it that way. In fact, you get deluged with mail about Medicare. Yeah. And these people who have been happily along, you know, with their health insurance for 40 years are all of a sudden stunned to find out, and they really don't understand this part, you no longer get any kind of family coverage. So it's just you. So it's Medicare starts the month you turn 65. And that doesn't mean your husband or your wife gets to tag on with you. If you're mm-hmm. the older person in the couple, it's just you. Well, now what do you do with the younger spouse? Oh, well, that's a different conversation. So it's this shock that happens really right around people's 65th birthday. And, you know, Esther, when we were chatting earlier, I think that's way too late to start thinking about this. I think at age 60, you need to start understanding what Medicare is so that you can be ready at 64 to make decisions, and so that it doesn't come as such a shock as you're trying to decide, do I stay at work? Do I leave my job? Do I continue working? And there are different rules for Medicare if you continue to work versus if you retire. And what do I do about my family, the family members that I'm covering?
Yes, it's very complex to go through all these different scenarios. And often our brains are not wired to think that far ahead and about something like this, and then to go, how do you get the information? So let's start at the beginning with Medicare. You and I talked about it, and we called it the Medicare maze. So where would someone go if you're saying, you know, we have this alphabet soup of Medicare letters that we'll go through? And also, where would you guide people to go starting at, say, 64 to understand all the pieces?
Yeah, the very best place is Medicare.gov. The Medicare website is tremendous in its depth and breadth around Medicare, but it's organized in ways that you can just sort of laser focus in on one of the many pieces of Medicare. And that's incredibly helpful. So my recommendation is always, there are six tabs when you get onto Medicare.gov. Start with the one on the far left, you know, which is around signing up and what plans are. The second tab is about Part A or what Medicare covers for hospitalization. And it just paces you through. And the key is, and the reason I say in your early 60s and 64, there is just so much information. You can't possibly take it all in a weekend. So this is not a, you know, a do-it-yourself. Let me, you know, run to Home Depot and I'll put up a gazebo over the weekend. You know, it just doesn't work that way. The language is so different. The rules are crazy. And then the shock is, what do you mean I pay for it? Mm-hmm. Haven't I been paying for it all along with my, you know, my FICA taxes? And it's a really it's a big comeuppance for the boomers and anyone who's getting Medicare of how crazy expensive it is and how complicated it is. So Medicare.gov is what I recommend.
And then let's start with the letters of Medicare, the different parts.
Sure.
It starts with Medicare A. I know that. So what does that cover?
Yes. And, you know, and it's funny, people would like for A for Apple. They'd like for it to be something that you could remember. Not so with Medicare. Part A is for hospitalization. And then there's a Part B, which is doctors. So just going back a bit, back in the 1960s, Medicare came into being in 1965 for a very specific reason. And it came to pass because hospitals noticed something. They noticed that older people needed to use the hospitals more often than younger people, and they couldn't afford the surgeries. They couldn't afford the hospital stays. So it actually took 20 years, but Congress finally got around to creating Medicare, the Medicare Act, the part of Social Security's bill. They said they worked with the hospital organizations, and hospitals wanted to be paid. You know, I think that's a fair requirement when you use a hospital, but the older folks couldn't pay for it. So they said, let's set up an insurance program for those who are 65 and older. We'll help them pay for hospital care, but only hospital care, not doctors. Key difference. So the hospitals were getting an insurance lane to help cover costs. But the doctors, you know, were squawking over on the other hand going, wait, we're the ones doing all the surgeries. We want to get paid too. That's why we have an A and a B. Part A covers your hospital stay, like the physical plant going into the hospital, being an admitted patient. Part B covers your physicians, covers outpatient care. So you might have to go to the hospital for, say, chemo treatments, right? That falls under Part B. You're in a hospital, but it's outpatient. So it's very interesting. It's very clear in the law, the two different parts of original Medicare. Part A covers four items, and only four: hospitalization, skilled nursing. If you end up needing rehab, say, for 6 months, you might need a skilled nursing arrangement. So Part A covers that. It covers hospice care, should you need to be in hospice, and it covers for certain home health aids coming into your home. Part B, on the other hand,
I'm going to stop with Part A for a moment. And okay. So this is something that comes up is like, well, I thought Medicare covers some long-term care then. And so how does the home health aides and the skilled nursing come into that?
Yes. Well, this is a really, really good point, Esther. Medicare is never gonna cover long-term care. Medicare is written that it covers hospitalization, skilled nursing, and hospice for a certain number of days, 1 year. And they come in different tiers for how much you have to pay, depending on the tier you're in within Part A. So Medicare was not meant to cover someone who, say, has Alzheimer's at early onset Alzheimer's at 60 or 65, and then you're in a nursing home for 20 years. That is not what Medicare is for. Medicare is for, you have a heart attack and you go into the hospital for 4 or 5 days, and then 10 years later you need a hip replacement because you're older. That's what Medicare is for. It's the insurance that covers you for hospital stays due to incidents and accidents and that sort of thing. But long-term care, nursing home care, any of that, no. That is outside the scope of Medicare.
So that's
and
the
that's
differentiator.
Very confusing. It yeah. is. Yeah, Medicare doesn't cover those activities of daily living. You know, when you need to be in nursing care because you can't do, you can't maybe feed yourself or dress yourself, or you need help walking, those kinds of things. That's in the nursing home care, long-term care, which is different from skilled nursing. And skilled nursing is for rehab. So after a hip replacement, for example, you know, you need to convalesce somewhere, not in the hospital. That's when you go to skilled nursing. They do physical therapy with you. They help you get literally back on your feet and get that hip working, you know, so that you can walk again. So that's the difference.
And then Medicare B.
Yeah, so Part B is specific to paying your physicians, your outpatient services, and durable medical equipment. So if you need a walker when you're older, you can get that under Part B. The list is enormously long of what Part B covers. Surprise, surprise. But it's very specific, and you can get this information. There's a great, I just think it's the best resource from Medicare. It's a book called Medicare and You. And Medicare publishes it every year. The 2021 book just came out in September, earlier in September. And you go online to medicare.gov, and if you just type in the search bar, Medicare and You book, it pops right up. And it is, I don't know, give or take, 200 pages long. And it literally lists every single condition, situation, anything you need in healthcare when it's covered under Part B. And it's incredibly specific. So you need to see if you're having knee surgery, does Medicare pay for knee surgery? Well, it's the anesthesiologist, it's the surgeon, it's the hospital, and then it's the aftercare. You know, so it's going to break these things down for you. And there's a tool on Medicare.gov that allows you to put in if you're having some very specific procedure. I can't think of one offhand, but, you know, angioplasty, does it cover that? You just type it in and it tells you what gets covered. So we have to become so aware of how the healthcare system works, how insurance works, and what gets paid by whom. So that's,
and Medicare,
it's very different.
And Medicare B, that is the one that is the big chunk of cost, right? If you can address that plus our Auntie Irma, if you can say how Irma comes into this
Oh, yes, our girlfriend Irma, right.
Yes.
Well, so yes, yeah, so the different parts, so this again, original Medicare from 1965, Part A is taxes that you've already paid along the way. So you may notice on your paycheck, you pay for Social Security and you pay HI. It stands for hospital insurance. That's Part A. That's what your FICA taxes pay. But Part B is nowhere to be seen, right? That you pay, this is a cost sharing. So the way the law got written is, okay, we're going to have insurance for hospitalization and we're going to help consumers, we're going to help the 65-year-olds with their costs for care. And so the way it works is Medicare, you pay a premium every month. It's automatically deducted right out of your Social Security check once you start getting Social Security. And the standard premium this year, 2020, it's $144.60. So everybody starts out at $144.60. But then, because
and that's per month.
Oh, go ahead.
Right?
That's, oh, yes, that's, sorry. Per person, yeah. Per month.
Thank
yes.
You.
Oh, that's exactly right. So it's a surprise right there. Like, what do you mean I have to pay for Part B? Yeah, you pay. You're paying for insurance. This is your monthly premium. But when we factor in that it's expensive to use healthcare services, in 2006, there was a Medicare Modernization Act that was passed by Congress. And they said, you know what? If you are a wealthier, higher income senior, we need you to pay more than $144.60. You have to pay more than the standard. And that's where you meet IRMA. And IRMA is an acronym, I-R-M-M-A. And all of a sudden, income-related monthly adjustment amount, I-R-M-A-A. That's IRMA. Income-related monthly adjustment amount. This is for high-income earners in retirement. So lots of people have high income still once they're over 65. And if that is you, you're going to pay additional premiums on top of that $144.60. And the numbers are high. You're going to pay an additional, so this is the highest end. So anyone who's earning more than $500,000 in income, if they're single or married filing jointly more than $750,000, you're going to pay an additional $347 on top of the $144.60. So give or take, you spend $500 per month per person, and that's just for your premium. You'll still have your 20% co-pays and co-insurance unless you also buy a Medigap or a supplemental insurance plan. So this is really shocking to people who have been working, you know, for 40 years and have always had this family coverage and they have these benefits from work and they do pay a premium every month, but they're not at this high level. And it goes up very, very quickly. The IRMA adjustment is, it's a surprise and it's expensive. And it's based on your income from 2 years back. So
that was going to be my question. So how does Medicare dig up? How does Medicare know what the heck you should be at in terms of the premium amount?
They actually use your tax returns. And Social Security is the administrative arm that looks at this. And every year around November, once you're on Social Security and or Medicare, you will get a letter, a determination letter from Social Security. And it will tell you that we used your 2 years ago tax returns and based on your modified adjusted gross income from 2 years ago, your Part B premiums are the standard amount or the standard amount plus an income adjustment for higher earners. And, you know, it is really considerably higher than you might expect, but it might also not last because every year it's redetermined how much you're going to pay for Part B. So let's say 1 year, this usually happens to people who are 65 and 66 and 67, those first few years of retirement and being on Medicare. It might be that you had a really big year at work 2 years ago. So your first IRMA determination says you're in a high income bracket and you have to pay an additional $230 on top of the $144.60. But if you had retired, you can go back and make an argument for and fill out a form saying, oh, I've had an approved event that says I shouldn't be hit with this IRMA charge. Can you relook at it? And Social Security will relook at it and make an adjustment for you. But it's, you know, it's like the 99 steps, right, to get this to work for you.
And so many people don't know about the SSA 44 to address that.
Exactly. Because it's all so very new, right? As you're trying to move into Medicare and figure out retirement, and there's so much coming at you in your mid to late 60s, it's really very hard. And you get this charge, you don't understand it necessarily, you've never seen it before, you don't know to file an appeal. On the other hand, I do get people who call me and they want to appeal for every kind of reason under the sun, Esther.
Sorry, those aren't covered. Right.
Right. It's like, so I make $1 million now and I've made $1 million, you know, for the last 10 years and now I'm in Medicare. Can I get this waived? It's like, no, you can't. You're still working and, you know, be grateful that you're making $1 million.
We see it here in a couple places. And I'm sure you're familiar with this too. In California, it's not unusual. People sell their homes and move out of state.
Yes.
And so they get 1 year where their MAGI goes way up. And then so does their Part B premium. And
yes.
So we've put those in for those clients. And then also, what about years like this where clients and others are losing their jobs at age 65 and they're not going to be making the income next year that this year they, and the year before, let alone 2 years ago, were making?
Right. So if there's a reduction in your work and in your income, that's one of the viable reasons to file a claim to have a readjustment to your IRMA. And I will say Social Security is very good at looking at these claims forms. They're quite simple to fill out, but you really do have to meet one of those rules.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be unhappy that you're getting charged more than you think you should be. You have to have that. And that's a really good reason when you do either retire or lose your job. And so, but 2 years ago, made $500,000. But this year, you're only going to, at the end of the day, make $250,000. Well, you want to be in that lower income consideration for your Part B premium so that you're not paying more than your share. And that you have to do a claim and go back and make an appeal.
And with the appeals, do they go back, review, and then give you that difference back?
They generally do. They make the adjustment at a point. They're different. Different people have had different experiences. So generally they make an adjustment to your Social Security check if you're already in Social Security. Otherwise, they may give you a lump sum.
Yeah.
Send you a check.
It's
so it just depends.
Checking. Yeah, it depends. And then also, so let's go to Medicare D for the prescriptions.
Yeah. So when Medicare first came about, there was aspirin, you know, in 1965 and a few other things out there. But we have had this really, thankfully, I call it the modern miracles of medicine. We have so many ways to stay healthier and to have some prescription drug cures for whatever ails us in many cases. Prescription drugs, though, have gotten very, very expensive. So again, in 2006, with the Medicare Modernization Act, Congress addressed the rapidly rising cost of drugs and saying seniors can't afford them. So we have now Part D in addition to A and B. So Part D only covers prescription drugs. That's all it does. It's got a crazy formula for how much you pay if it's a generic versus a brand drug. Does the insurance company pay? Do you pay? Does Medicare pay? It is this crazy, crazy formula. The thing to know is most people pay zero premium to Medicare for Part D. They will, however, pay a premium to the insurance company where they're buying their Part D, except if you meet IRMA. And Irma is going to be a situation, again, these are the high income earners in retirement. They're going to have monthly premiums that they pay to Medicare plus monthly premiums they pay to their insurance company. And the prescription drug, the Part D Irma, is not terrible. It starts at $12 a month and it goes up to $76. It's not going to break the bank if you're a high earner, but this is what I call a nuisance charge. Like, really? Mm-hmm. You're going to charge somebody $31.50 a month? Do you really need to do that? But it is a way of spreading some of the high costs of prescription drugs. And it landed on the higher income earners in retirement. But you can also appeal that when you appeal Part B.
And see if you can get an adjustment. And many people don't know that that's an option. We do help clients with that. And then the last part is the supplement, because A, B, and D, do they cover everything?
No, they do not. So it's interesting with the, why would they, right? Why make it easy?
Crazy.
It really is. Supplemental insurance. So there is A and B. Part A only goes, like I mentioned, for 1 year of hospitalization throughout your entire retirement. And Part B pays 80% of the doctors and services costs that it pays for. So where are you going to pay for the rest? Where do you pay the deductibles? And where do you pay your 20% share? Well, there are only three options. The first is you can self-pay. I never recommend that, even if you're super wealthy, because there's no cap. If you become terribly ill and have a long-term illness, you would have to pay all of your share of costs out of your pocket. The second option is a Medigap plan. And this is an insurance policy you buy, and it sits underneath A and B. So Medicare is going to pay whatever they're going to cover on their A and B obligations, and then your Medigap insurance policy pays the rest. So it's a nice structure. It makes it quite easy for retirees, but you're paying another monthly premium. And those premiums are not cheap. They range generally anywhere between $150 per month and $500 per month, depending on what you choose and the insurance company you choose. So they can be quite pricey. The third option is Medicare Advantage plans. And these are plans also sold by insurance companies. And you can buy these plans often with a $0 monthly premium. So the way they work is you still enroll in your Parts A and B. You pay your Part B premium, the standard or standard plus Irma. And then you buy a Medicare Advantage plan, usually with a Part D already rolled into it. So you're getting a package and you don't have to pay a monthly premium, but you are exposed to generally a maximum of $6,700 per year, because you're paying out of pocket for a lot of costs first. And then the insurance kicks in. So it's when you use healthcare services that you end up having to pay. If you don't use much in healthcare services, you can, you know, just spend a few hundred dollars a year. But years that you have an accident or you get sick or you need a surgery or something, you can pay up to $6,700 a year. So they're just different options to consider. There's no right or wrong. This insurance has to fit into your budget, and it's better to have some insurance than no insurance. But all in all, it's expensive any which way we look at it, and we need to prepare for that as we're moving into retirement.
Mm-hmm. And as we close for today, it goes so fast. I know how we do when we're working with clients. We will plan in all these different parts and pieces and use the current premium costs for the different areas and then add on an inflation amount. But beyond that, as for those who aren't working with a planner, besides Medicare.gov, what would you suggest? I know that there is, it starts with H. I've forgotten in the moment as well. Those services where people can go and speak to a specialist on Medicare.
Yeah, so every state has, you might be thinking about the SHIP program, the SHIP representatives. It might be called something else in California, but it's a program. You find it online. So it's SHIP, like a boat, S-H-I-P, shiptacenter.org. If you go there, put in your state, and you're going to get the information, the website and the phone number for you to meet with a free resource of someone who can help you talk through your Medicare options. They're very, very helpful. They're extremely knowledgeable about your state, but it has to be the state you're living in that you plan to retire in. So like you mentioned, if you're living in California today, but planning to move to, I don't know, where do folks go, Arizona or Nevada, you're going to want to talk to the SHIP representatives in the state you're moving to so that you get the lay of the land of how Medicare works by state, because it's very different in California than it is in Nevada. But this is a great...
Than it is in Massachusetts, where you
are. It's crazy here. It's crazy simple, relatively speaking. Yeah, we have a very, very different eclectic plan that people love. So yeah, I think I'm staying put in Massachusetts, you know, just for Medicare.
Here it's called HICAP, Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy.
That's it. Yes, yes. And we actually, in Massachusetts, we call them SHINE, Serving the Healthcare Needs for Everyone or something. Yeah. So every state calls it something different, but it's all under that SHIP TA Center website is where you'll find. But that's right, HICAP. I should have remembered that. But that's a great resource.
Yeah,
the other is we all need to understand that your Medicare costs are largely going to be determined on the drugs you take. So I would use the tools on Medicare.gov. There are two of them. One is a supplemental plan finder, and the other is your drug plan finder. And you can literally enter, take your prescriptions right out of your medicine cabinet, and you're going to enter the exact name of the drug, the exact dosage, the exact quantity, and start to look at how much is this going to cost you for the drugs you take when you hit Medicare age. It's incredibly eye-opening.
And the last thing I will ask you about is those concerns where people, clients have said, oh, what if my doctor doesn't take Medicare?
Oh, great, great question to end on. It is your responsibility, every individual's responsibility, to double check with their physician and their hospital system and their specialists, whomever they want to maintain a relationship with. Almost all physicians take regular original Medicare and a Medigap. There's much more networking and selectivity in Medicare Advantage plans. They're built around networks, and your doctors may not fit into a Medicare Advantage plan. You have to ask.
Very good. Oh, my goodness. It's been so wonderful to talk with you again, Marcia, about all of these topics. It is complex, but don't worry. There are places to go. I think there are just resources available to you. You covered Medicare.gov. We talked about HICAP. We talked about SHIP. There, S-H-I-P as in Peter. there's just a lot of places to go. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, it's understandable, but there are resources to go to. And please put that into your planning when you're looking at retirement planning.
And please do it well before 65.
Yes.
You know, it's not overwhelming when you start at 60. So that's my advice, is start early, earlier than you think.
That's great. And Marcia, you have the book on Social Security planning, what's the deal with Social Security for women? And as women, we need our health care typically much longer than men do. Not that we want our men to be undercovered for health care, but we really need to be sure that we're well covered for health insurance as we move into retirement age. So thank you so much for all of this information you shared with us today. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Esther. It was such a pleasure.
It was fun. Eric, are you still there?
I am. Here's the thing. If you've listened to the last podcast and listened to this one, there's one thing that's very clear, Marcia. You sure know your ship.
That's cute.
All the other acronyms, I have no idea. Thank you. All the other ones, I couldn't keep those straight. There's just no way. So I appreciate you coming on the show. Esther, I've said it a million times, but seriously, you find the best guests and you bring them on to educate your clients and your listeners. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it because I learn something every time. So thank you so much again.
You're welcome.
If anyone wants to reach out to us, It is, you can reach out to gatespassadvisors.com and do contact us. And Marcia, if someone wants to reach out to you, how do they find you?
The best place is on my blog, which is boomerretirementbriefs.com.
And there's great information there as well. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Eric, I will let you take us out.
You betcha. And of course, last thank you goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And these last two, you know somebody that needs to hear this information. So please share this with them. It's super easy. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.